So I think we're all family here, so I thought of this, and so y'all know. I was going to introduce myself as Pastor Roxanne and say this is what happens when you believe that your youth is restored like the Eagles. This is what hurt. I'm just kidding. No, Pastor Rox and Miss Deb are traveling in Dallas this weekend. They joined us, all of us ladies. It was a wonderful time. We had 16 ladies at the Icing conference this weekend. And so it was a wonderful time together. And what an anointed, encouraging word from Miss Terry Savelle Foy. I mean, I don't know if there's anyone who gets you on track better than her. I mean, just reminds you again and again, get it right every single, I mean, hear what I'm saying. Create habits every single day, right? Do the things you know to do every single day. And while goals are so important, growth is really what brings you to a place of meeting your goals. And so if you're not doing it every single day, you're missing out on something. There's an opportunity to grow every single day. A goal has a stopping point, and so then you create the next thing. But when you are on a growth mindset, every single day you're wanting to change. Every single day you're wanting to increase. Every single day you're wanting to move forward. And that's who God's called us to be. He's called us to be people who increase every single day. The world created this concept that once you get a certain age that you just start to regress. No, that's not how God created his system. That's not how God created his kingdom. God didn't create a kingdom where you get to a certain age and then you begin regressing. God created a kingdom of daily increase. Of daily moving ahead, of daily growth, of more wisdom, of more insight, of greater revelation, a greater mind. And the enemy has tried to pervert that and create a lie in saying that you have to regress when you get old, and it is simply not the truth. I see again and again these people who, there was a woman on stage there, and I promise I'm not going to just re-preach Terry to you. It would be really good if I did, but I'm not going to do that. But there was a woman on stage there, and she has a Vision 101 thing, and she was 74 years old and determined she was going to ORU for her doctorate. 74 years old. So don't tell me you're too old. Don't tell me you still can't accomplish things in life. Don't tell me there's not stuff still for you to do. She also believed God that she would pay off her master's program, and before she showed up to that Vision 101 graduation, she had completely paid it off. God still has plans for your life. God still has a purpose for your life. God created you not thinking that you would get to a certain age and quit. He thought they have in him what it takes to move with endurance, to move forward and fuller into the things I've called them to be. If you don't look exactly like Jesus, you haven't made it yet. That's what it says, right? To move into the perfection of Christ. What is that? A consistent, constant maturing to look like Jesus. Forever and ever, every day, from this one forward, that should be one of your goals. How can I look more like Jesus today? How can I move more like Jesus today? Amen? Give me just a minute. Technology is working with me. Amen. So I got so distracted on all the goodness of Terry, I forgot to continue with Pastor's story. So Pastor is still in Dallas. Pastor is at our sister church, One Hope. And this is with Pastors Derek and Jennifer Miller. Jennifer is a Holler, who is now a Miller. But she is one of Pastor Holler's daughter, or his only daughter, And she and her husband have a church there in Dallas. And so Pastor wanted to go be with them this morning. And so she went up there to be with them this morning. And now they're going to actually do a Holy Ghost service tonight. And so it's going to be a wonderful time up there for them. They are such dear friends of ours. We love them so much. And so we just call blessing and goodness and anointing and favor over Pastor and Pastor Deb as they travel. We thank you, Lord, that you have blessed us with anointed, blessed ministers of God. We thank you, Lord, that you've called us to this house to be a part of their vision, to be in the fullness of what they've been called to do here at the House of Victory through you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you have blessed us with the best. And we are so grateful for our pastors, and we're so grateful for the work that they do and are doing for the kingdom of God, that they are studied, equipped, and preparing each and every one of us in this house for the work of the ministry. And we thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. And so it is a blessing. Pastor was like, hey, I'm going to stay over. She told me, not just this weekend, she told me a little bit before that. So, are you coming home? Are you? So I was like, yes, ma'am, I'll be there. And so it is a blessing of the Lord to get to be here with y'all today. And she will be back on Wednesday. She's just staying today, and they'll come home tomorrow. So let's just take a minute to honor God with our finances. Amen. How many of you would agree that we are in unusual times? And it's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing that we are seeing such shifts and changes in the body of Christ and their understanding and how to move and function as the body of Christ and how to do the work of the ministry. Amen. But one of the things that I really wanted to talk about that actually I heard Terry say yesterday, but this has been meditating on the inside of me, and that is an uncommon seed will produce uncommon results. And this was something that the Lord was showing me the other day in a different area. An uncommon action produces uncommon results. The children of Israel, Moses was told to throw a stick in some water and it would cause it to not be bitter. I would just go ahead and say try that without the Lord's leading and your water's probably still going to be bitter. I don't think that's the answer to bittered water, right? But it was an uncommon action which produced uncommon results. We have opportunities to do uncommon seeds that produce uncommon results. And we see that the Lord moves this way often. The Lord had a woman give her last bin of flour and oil, producing a cake for the man of God that then caused her to be fully supplied and her family. We see a woman told to go get all of these vessels for the little bit of oil that she had left. And it produced till the point that she was debt-free and funded. We see a widow woman who gives everything she has into an offering. And you have to know that woman left blessed. Continually, again and again, we see people doing things where they are laying down what would be the provision of their life. What about Peter leaving the business he'd known his whole life? You see, the rich young ruler wasn't about money, it was about his heart. What are you putting your trust in? What are you putting your hope in? And so I remember I was really, really young in the things of God. I'd been saved for a long time, but I stayed young for a long time. You know, like, we're actually going to talk about this scripture, but Peter says, I would talk to you as an adult, but I'm still talking to you as a baby. I needed that for a long time. And so we were down in Lockhart, and you may have to fact check me on this, but we were down in Lockhart, and our pastor there at the time said, I am calling upon you to sow an unusual seed for an unusual harvest for a building. And if I recall correctly, y'all sold some couches and were furnitureless. and there were people who were cashing in investments. There were people who were going above and beyond. Now, listen, I'm just putting something on the inside of you because I want you to reach in on the inside of you and say, am I at this place of trusting God? So I don't have any action on that part, okay? but I want you to go within yourself because sowing isn't just a monotonous thing where you come and you plunk it in the bucket. It's a heart matter. It's a matter if you're willing to go on the inside. So I saw all of these people doing this, and then I heard the testimonies again and again of people being overwhelmingly blessed because they gave outside of what was the norm. They gave outside of what we always do. They went within themselves and reached for something else. Now, it doesn't always have to be. It doesn't always have to be that. Maybe the outside of your realm doesn't have to do with money. Maybe it has to do with your time. Maybe it has to do with laying your ministry at his feet, whatever that is. Maybe it has to do with laying your job at his feet. Maybe it has to do with laying some of your children or your family at his feet because they're taking the place that God should be in. And so I believe that God is calling us for uncommon seed. And I believe he's calling it for an uncommon harvest. We're in the end of the end days. We're coming to a close of this thing, and he wants us to not just be bound by what everybody else is doing. And so I do want to tell you one more story, and then we'll receive. Jordan and I guess just about a year and a half ago, we're believing God for restoration on our home. And we needed roofs, we needed floors, we needed bathrooms, we needed paint, lots of things. And we were driving home, and I was listening to a minister on our way home from Michigan to... I listened to a lot of ministers on our way home from Michigan to here. That's a long drive. But as I was listening, I heard him believing God for his building. And I told Jordan, I said, babe, I think what we need to do, we had a house fund that was to go to these repairs and such. And there was $500 in it, which wouldn't have covered any project. Not one. Not even part of one. And so I said, babe, I really think we need to sow the money that's in there and sow it into this building fund because I believe in the work they're doing and I believe the culture they're creating there. So he said, okay. And so this was just about December, I want to say. So we sowed it. And can I tell you, within 6 months, every single one of those projects was done. Every single one. I'm not talking about hundreds of dollars. I'm talking about tens of thousands of dollars of work, probably bumping up to about $100,000 worth of work. Why? Because he prompted us to say, this is what you have. This is what you've worked for. It's not going to meet the need, so sow it a seed. And so I just encourage you today, if you're believing God to, if you feel like you're stuck, if you feel like you're locked up in something, ask him, what's the uncommon seed I can sow? What's the thing that I can do to get me out of this position? What would you have me to do to participate with you? Because those are the kind of things where you're not going to figure it out on your own. God is the only way out. God is the only solution. Amen? And so, that was my last line. Praise the Lord. Pray about sowing uncommon seed and pray about opening a door to more with this uncommon seed. Amen? So today I'd like to give the opportunity for you to sow into the house of victory. Amen? And to be in partnership with God. That's what tithing and giving is all about, is being in partnership with God. Saying, what you've called me to do, I can't do it on my own, and I can't do it without you. So, Lord, I put my trust in you. Amen? So, Father, we thank you for every tither and every giver. We thank you, Lord, for your blessing, your anointing, your moving and working on the hearts of the people, that they would know that you have a plan for them, that you have a future for them, and Father, that you're calling them to daily increase, that they're not stuck where they're at, but they're moving ahead into greater, further, deeper things than ever before. Father, we thank you for the tither, the devourer is rebuked, the windows of heaven are open unto them. And Father, we thank you that nations call Victory Church blessed in the name of Jesus. Amen. Brothers and sister, if you would receive the offering, if you would like to give by text message, you can text VCHL to 73256. Click the link and complete your gift. You can also give by mail, Pony Express. Do a parachute drop. Wouldn't that be cool? If all of a sudden you just see like parachutes dropping out. Okay, just me? Cool. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So Jordan and I have been at Victory for, I think this makes 12 years. Wow. Paisley was 1 week old when we came to Victory. And right after we came, Pastor started this, I want to say she called it J12, but it wasn't like most of the J12 we did. It was a little bit different. And she started this mentorship class. And in the mentorship class, one of the things that she called us to do is she was going to talk to us about creating our own ministries. And so this was in January 2014. I went back and pulled some of my notes from it. So in January 2014, she said, okay, here's what we're going to do. You're going to come up with this name. You're going to come up with stuff, and we're going to talk about what it looks like to be in ministry. And so it was all very new, very fresh to me. Before I moved to Marble Falls, I hardly served. I guess I was in children's church ministry for a while, but I'd hardly really served in church. I was a church goer, but I would say I was learning how to be a Jesus follower. And there's a difference. And so I was fresh, kind of, to the things of God. I was young in the things of God, but when we came into this class, she said, okay, I want you to come up with a name for this fake ministry that you're going to have. Do y'all remember this? Yeah. For this, I think it was us, you, yes? Okay, so all of us young folk, we're not the young folk anymore, but then we were kind of young. And so we were coming up with this name. And you're like, Danny, do I need to know all this? Well, you'll see. And so as I came up with it, I was going through all of these ideas, and I was just praying with the Holy Ghost. And the one that stuck was Alive in Him. And so at that moment, we were just doing an exercise to expand our thinking, to walk in that place. What I did not realize is in that time, he was telling me how things would begin to develop, how things would begin to walk out. He was showing me something that, if you've heard me minister before, you know I've talked about identity in Christ. He was showing me how to live in him. He was opening the door to say, come in and look at the anointing I've placed on your life. Come in and look what I've made available to you. There is nothing that goes further and reaches deeper than knowing your life and who he is. You were created in him, and you can't even truly know yourself outside of him. You're looking at a fictitious persona of something else when you're not looking at yourself in him. And so your anointing, your true identity is completely found there. So what is his flow for you? How's he moving right now? And how can you be a part of what he's doing right now? And I want to tell you that right now there is an anointing and a flow for victory. Not just this house of victory. Not just these four walls of victory. I'm talking about victories happening in your life right now. They are moving, they are working, they are pressing ahead, moving you into the precipice of your life that is preparing you for the climax of the ages. It's setting you up for a place where you can be who he truly called you to be from the beginning so that you can operate in the fullness of everything he's given to you. Thank you, Jesus. The flow of anointing being poured out for supernatural victory. It is being poured out specifically for the river that was created to flow in and through your life straight from heaven. So the scripture of Victory Church is 1 John 5:4, right? And it talks about world overcoming faith. World overcoming faith. And it says there's one qualification for you to live in world overcoming faith. And it's to be born of God. And there is one qualification to be born of God, and it's to believe that Jesus is the Christ. Why do we make it so hard? Why do we make faith so hard? Why do we try to overcomplicate it? Why do we make it so much more than it needs to be when it says world overcoming faith is by believing that Jesus is the Christ? We sometimes want to come into a place where we're adding in, moving stuff around, forcing it a certain direction. We used to, when we lived in Lockhart, we would go float in New Braunfels. And there's a place in New Braunfels where you come down this really sweet, I hope it's still sweet, I don't know, I haven't been there in a long time. But there's a really sweet tube chute, and if you stay with the current, you keep moving down the river. But if you get to the bottom of it and you begin fighting it, you go straight to the left, which I ended up in a lot of times, and then you just do this circle thing where you keep doing the same thing over and over, and it's a lot of work to get out of that. And just keep going and keep going and keep going. But if you hadn't had worked so hard to try to stay away from that place, you would have been in the current and on your way down the river. Sometimes we try to work so hard to do what we think is the way it should go, the way faith should move, the way that we can participate in faith. We overwork it so much that we're really trying to have faith in our faith and not in the faith that Jesus is the Christ. That he is the one who will put us in a current, and he has a flow for you. Now, I'm not saying stop reading your Bible, stop praying, stop doing all, of course. But your faith should not be in those works. Your faith is in he is the Christ, the anointed one, and his anointing. All of those things should be done in him in those facts. Sometimes we also want to, when we get to those places where they feel like they're lagging to us, strap a motor on the back and force ourselves through the current. I also do not recommend that. You'll get yourself in some hairy, scary places, and sometimes it causes some stuff to be trapped up in your motor because a motor wasn't meant for this current. And now you have seaweed trapped on your propeller, and you're going to get stuck anyways. And so let's go ahead and stay in his pace, in his flow, in his current. Amen? So God has established us and he has called us to be in Christ and his anointing. And sometimes we just need to step back, stop trying to overcomplicate things, stop trying to determine this is the way it has to be, and go back to the basics. And so I heard Terry tell this story this weekend, but I went back and listened to it myself. Thank you. And it's a story about Adam Stein Jr. And he was a basketball all things. And he was a trainer, but he was also a interviewer, reporter. And so he got placed on a Kobe Bryant training camp. And so he said, okay, well, can I come see one of your personal workouts? And at this time, Michael Jordan had already retired. And so Kobe Bryant was the best in the world at that time. LeBron hadn't become LeBron at this point. He was still learning to be LeBron. But Kobe was number one in the world at this time. And so Adam shows up to this place. Well, he first says, can I see your personal training session? And the lessons for the kids are supposed to start at 3:30 the following day or the day after that, 3:30 p.m. And he said, sure, you want to come? You can come to my 4 a.m. workout. So he thought, all right, I'll come to your 4 a.m. workout. So Adam thought, well, I'll get there before him just to, you know, look good and show up. And so he woke up at 3 o'clock, and he showed up to the gym at 3:30 in the morning. And at 3:30 in the morning, he can hear the ball already bouncing inside the gym. And so he goes in, and Kobe's in there, and he says he is doing skills that I would train middle schoolers to do. I would train middle school players to do these things that he's doing in the gym. He's just doing basic things over and over. And then I see him go work with his trainer, and while other people are, as the practice starts, while other people are practicing their three-point shots and practicing all of their mad skills, he's working inside the paint to get the simple shot. He's doing the things that you're first taught. And he said, and so I didn't say anything to the trainer, and I didn't say anything to him. Adam did. He said, I just held to myself, but the truth is my curiosity got the best of me. And so the next day I walked up to him, and I said, Kobe, you are the best in the world. Why are you doing these basic drills? And he said, I am the best in the world because I never get bored with the basics. Whether people are watching or they're not watching, I never get bored with the basics. We cannot let go of the foundation of who God has called us to be. We cannot let go of and think we're getting so ethereal, so amazing, so up in these places that we forget the foundation. Because without the foundation, which is who? Jesus Christ. Then those things are never going to produce. Those things will never be important. Those things will never be powerful. The kingdom of God is not powerful without Jesus. You cannot be powerful for the kingdom of God without Jesus. Let me say it like that. And so in watching all of this and seeing all of this, I just want to encourage you. We're going to go through some basics this morning. And some of y'all may say, I've heard it a dozen times. And that's all right. Probably means you need to hear it again if that's your mindset. But I want us to walk into some things and gain greater skill. And obviously, if it works for the best in the world basketball player, and it works for the violinist who's played on the stage of so many, and it works in the giftings of those that are following us, Why would it not be the same for the giftings on our lives? Why would it not be the same for the call of God that's on our life? Amen? And so we're going to go to Matthew chapter 16. And so I believe the foundation of a life in Christ, we must be sure of three things. The word, which is truth, and is Jesus. The anointing, which is established and given through Jesus. And the grace of God, which is displayed and given in Jesus. All of these, of course, made available to us by the blood. Amen. And so today we're going to talk specifically about the anointing. Very quickly. Amen. So Matthew 16, and we're going to start in verse 13. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I am?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and some others, or one of the prophets." And so they recognized that there was something about him. Everyone recognized, or whoever these people were, recognized that there was something about him that was God ordained. They all saw that. They all saw that there was something special about him. They all saw there was something about him, but they were pegging him of something from the past, right? And so he said, "But who do you say that I am?" This is extremely important to your walk with God. It is extremely important for you to know who Jesus is, not about him, who he is. There are people that I know, and then there are people that I know. There doesn't have to be anything coming out of their mouth for me to know what's going on in their mind. There doesn't have to be a conversation between us for me to say, "Okay, we're going to be praying about this." There doesn't have to be a conversation for me to say, "Okay, we're walking through some things." Why? Because I know their heart. I know them. I know my daughters. I know my husband on a deeper, more intimate way. But I've given this example before. Jesse has a sister-in-law named Lisa. I know Lisa. I know a lot of things about Lisa because me and Jesse have talked about Lisa a lot of times. But I don't know her like Jesse knows her as her best friend. I don't have that intimate relationship with her. You see, it isn't about I know Jesus because my wife knows Jesus. I know Jesus because my husband knows Jesus. I know Jesus because my mama knows Jesus. You need to have the revelation of who he is. You need to have the revelation of what he's done. And you need to have the revelation that he's anointed for a purpose to get you into a flow to remove burdens and destroy yokes. And if you don't know that, and you just heard a preacher preach about it, but you don't know it in your life, you will not see the manifestation of it. You need to know him as healer. You need to know him as the one who heals the brokenhearted. You need to know him as provider. You need to know him as source. You need to know him as Messiah. Okay, sidebar. Moving on. So Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." So note here, I know most of you know this, but I'm going to just put it in for anyone who overlooked. He's the Christ. It is who he is, but his name is Jesus. His name is Jesus, the Anointed One, Jesus, the Messiah, and Christ is the Greek word Christos, and so they didn't translate it. So when you read that, you should read Jesus, the Anointed One, and his anointing. Jesus, the Messiah, the one who came to save the whole world. But it's like John the Baptist was John the Baptizer. It's what he did. Whew, Jesus. Jesus is the Anointed One because when he shows up, the anointing shows up with him. Thank you, Lord. So you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. This is imperative for our faith, and it's imperative for our walk. And Jesus answered and said, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." So what do we know? We know that there had to have been revelation delivered here. It wasn't just a natural understanding. Something was opened inside his heart. That's who we're coming to know Jesus as. Not just that we know up here that he's provider. Not that we just know up here that he's healer. Not that we just know up here. No, there's an intimate exchange that took place on the inside of Peter that said, "I know who you are. I see it. I know it. It's revealed to me." And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. And the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. On this rock I will build my church. What is that rock? It is the rock of revelation that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Not that they were going to build it on a saint. Not that they're going to build it on a certain individual. Not that they're going to move forward the kingdom of God based on one person. No, that, well, one person, Jesus Christ, but not that it was going to be Peter. The rock was the revelation that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And all of the power and the authority of the church, which is the ecclesia, the governing legislative body, is built on this. That he is anointed and his anointing is moving in the earth. Amen. And then he says, "I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." He has given the keys over to you, the authority, the power, all that is given to you is because he is the Christ and the anointing that works in him. And we cannot separate that when we start walking out in who we're called to be. The anointing you're operating in was given to you as a gift, but it was his anointing that was given to you. And so it has nothing to do with your ability other than to submit to him, to move with him, to hear with him, to flow with him, to go with him. Amen? And so God is the one who establishes us in Christ, and he's also the one who anoints us. He's the one who sets us apart. And it must be established that he is the one. He's the one. If I go drop my car off to someone in valet, I've given them my keys, but the authority of that vehicle still belongs to me. It's still mine. In the same way, because he's given you the keys, the authority still belongs to him. And in him is where we find everything we could ever need. But it's in him. Even the promises of God, it says the promises of God are yes and amen, but in him. All of your needs shall be met according to the riches of glory in him, in Christ Jesus. It's in him. So if we have separated ourselves out, when we're going to that place where we're trying to figure it out, we're trying to work outside of him, we're trying to move outside of him, we're trying to create things to be forced in our own way, the victory isn't there. The scripture even tells us that our victory is in him. If we want to move into this place, we have to be in him, abiding in him, dwelling with him, flowing with him. It's not just a come on Sunday and come on Wednesday. It's a daily lifestyle of being in him, being with him. When you're floating down the river, he's got to be the canoe. Our redemption is in him. Our forgiveness is in him. Amen? And so yoke yourself to Jesus. We were created to be in him. I wanted to read a scripture on a different version. version, so let me pull this up. I'm going to read it to you in the easy version. And it's talking about easy, so that's perfect. But Matthew 11, 28. How do we know if we're in him? Because we're yoked up in the way he moves. And he says this in the easy version. Come to me, all of you who are tired. Some versions say, well, there's one, weary, carrying a heavy burden. You're like people who have worked for a long time. I don't know about you, but I could relate to that. I've had days where I thought, this would have been a whole lot easier if I'd involved Jesus in the beginning rather than waiting till I got this far. You are like people who have carried heavy things. Come to me. If you do that, you will find a place of rest. Refresh your life, an oasis. Do what I teach you to do. Listen to my message and learn from me what is true. I am very kind, and I do not make myself important. I'll help you. Then you will have peace in your mind. I will not tell you to do things that are too difficult. I will not tell you to carry anything that is too heavy for you. Think about that. The scripture tells us in 1 John 5, right in that same place where I was talking between 1 and 4, that his commandments are not burdensome. He didn't create you to toil. He didn't create you to bear heavy things. Now, am I saying that it's always a breeze? No, there's some endurance involved, but in him, you don't feel that. You separate yourself from that because you know in him, it's like I picture myself in a little bubble. In him, the victory's already won. In him, I already have what I need. In him, I already have everything that I'm looking towards. Now, if I look from outside of that bubble, it can look a little hairy, scary. But in that bubble, it's a safe place. Amen? And so, when you're yoked up to the wrong thing, that's when things get hard. It's like, I don't know if I can say this, but I'm going to. It's like being hooked up to the fat, slow kid in a three-legged race, right? I was the fat, slow kid, too. Just saying, if you're trying to run a race, don't, unless it's a race that doesn't require actual running. But being yoked up to that. You're just dragging excess weight that's unnecessary. I'm sorry, fat, slow kid. Sounded rude and I've tried. But you're dragging unnecessary weight. That's not light. That's not easy. That's not refreshing. It's tiresome and burdensome. So if it's been hard, stop trying to do it by yourself. Stop yoking up to the lies of the enemy. Stop yoking yourself up to the truth of what the world says. Stop yoking yourself up to the opinions of man that have no authority in your life. Stop yoking yourself up to your old man. Stop yoking yourself up to who you used to be. And come into the yoke that is Jesus. That's where your new creation is found. That's where you step into the place he called you to be. It even says when you became a new creation, you became it in him. That identity that he gave to you by being born again is in him. Step into that place that's free. Step into that place that's light. Step into that place that's easy. Step into the place where he has a flow that'll move all that trash out of the way. I remember we were riding, me and my friend were riding down this tubing down one of the places on the San Marcos River. And it was some So she got caught up in some debris. Man, I have a lot of river stories. She got caught up in some debris, and she was stuck on the side of the river, but I couldn't get to her because she was so entrenched in all this trash that had been everywhere in the river. And so she's like, I think I lost my driver's license, my ID, and my stuff that was attached to blah, blah, blah. And I was like, okay, well, I can't even get to you. And right now, I don't care about any of that other stuff except for you staying right side up and not falling into the river, right? Like, let's try to get out of this mess. Well, the further she tried to get out, the more she got into the debris. Because she wasn't focused on getting back into the current. She was focused on getting the stuff that was stuck in the debris. Lord, that's really good. There, she was trying to get the stuff that was stuck in the debris, the trash that had kept her bogged down in the first place. Maybe it's time to release that. Maybe you should stop looking at the things and for the things and start looking at the current and the Holy Ghost, who's already moving, who's already provided a way out, who's already flowing, who already has a way down. Get back into the flow. Get back into the flow of what he's doing. Get back into the flow of where he's called you to be. Get back into the flow of everything that he's made available to you. Every Christian was called to walk in the anointing. There's not just a few. Every single person, the moment they were born again, God bestowed the anointing upon you. It's part of being in him. But we have to let the old person pass away. We can't define ourselves by being caught up in the trash of the past. We can't stay trapped in that. When God anoints us, he rubs his nature on us. He's causing you to be more like him every single day. He's washing you with who he is. He's cleansing you with who he is, creating within you a place to move and flow like he's moving and flowing. Amen? And so there's a preparation for the anointing. In 1 Corinthians 3:1, I told you we were going to mention this. He talks about, I've had to talk to you like babies. You just get the milk because you're not maturing. So we just have to keep going through the same thing. You keep trying to do it on your own, and you keep ending up in that little circle over and over and over again. A river is made to be flowed with a current. Not in the branches on the side. And not with you throwing your litter and trash all up in it, trying to bog down your way of where you're going. Thank you, Jesus. So there's a maturity that comes in it. Paul references speaking to them about coming further into the fullness of God. When that anointing was placed on you, all the power for that anointing was placed. It was completely given at that time. But anyone else in here besides me know who Cyclops is from the X-Men? All right, I got a solid 5. Oh, got a couple more. I won't tell anyone, Miss Joy, that you raised your hand. Cyclops was given all of his power immediately. It all came about immediately. But it was crazy. It was spreading. He had no control over it. It was going everywhere. It was all over the place. He didn't know how to use it. And then he got these really cool glasses. And a mentor. Just saying. Lord, that's good. And these glasses caused him to focus the power to the place it needed to go. Your sight in God, the anointing causes you to go to a place where you visualize with a spiritual reality and not a natural one. The power of your anointing is then focused to what God has called you to do, the purpose he's aligned you to, the things he's prepared beforehand for you, the places he's called you to go. And no longer is this just operating all willy-nilly in the places it's not supposed to, but it's focused on the power he's issued for your life. And he's even given us the Holy Spirit to teach us how to move and how to operate in it. 1 John 4:27 says, "The anointing which you have received from him who abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true, is not a lie, just as it taught you, you abide in him." In him is where you learn to move with the skill of your anointing. He's the mentor. Now, the scripture specifically tells us, before you run off on some rabbit hole, which I don't think anyone here would, but that we are to sit for the equipping of the work of the ministry under a man or woman of God. Amen? We're called to a body. We're called to a local church. But in him is where you find who you truly are. In him is who you find how you're truly called to move within the earth. Amen? And so there is an importance about being skillful in the anointing and the anointing that's placed on your life. How to develop it, how to work in it, how to flow with it, how to be purposeful about it, how to grow in those skills and how to grow in that place, but it's to be done in him and not apart from him. Those skills will work outside of the place that he's called you to be, some of them. You'll learn how to flow with those things in a place that it's actually taking away from what he's called you to do with that anointing. That's why it's so important to be in him. That's why it's so important to know where he's moving, where he's flowing, and being part of his current. So you are called to have an individual, personal, anointed call. But it's called to be a part of the body of Christ. And that anointing moves and flows with the body of Christ in such a way that scripture we started with in Matthew 16 says, "And the gates of hell will not prevail against it." You see, there's something about when my anointing joins with Amanda's anointing that produces something better than even us working individually. There's something about when my anointing moves with Jesse's anointing or Patty's anointing or Max's anointing that causes something new. Why? Because Lynn Hanman describes it like this. If you go into the rainbow, look at the rainbow, how about that? You see that there's Roy G. Biv, however many colors that is, specifically laid out. But if you were to look where those colors are merging, there's a facet of all different colors being revealed in there. There's all kinds of little pieces and parts that as these things come together, they create something new and something beautiful and something wonderful that presses them ahead to something greater than you can individually bring. Amen? And so we were called to be part of this ecclesia where the gates of hell cannot prevail. The devil cannot penetrate. The devil cannot come through. And so right now in this time, we need to be asking ourselves, what can we do to expand our capacity to move and operate with God? What can we do to work further in the anointing God's placed on our lives, both individually and corporately? What can we do to come together to, like Doyle ministered on Wednesday night, change the picture of what you think you are? I just want to reiterate to you the story that said he was in a church of, 40 people? It was a small church, and this woman told him, "You are called to travel the world and to create guitars." Now, if he were to only perceive this in a world mindset, think of how far that is from where he's at. He could probably not even navigate a plan step by step of how he would get to that place in his natural thinking. He said that he couldn't afford guitar strings. Guitar strings are no more than $20, right? Someone? That's fair. Ish. Sure. And he got a $9,000 guitar delivered to his driveway. It doesn't have to be what you can come up with in your natural mind. It has to be saying, Lord, yes. Lord, yes. Yes, I'm willing. Yes, I'll do it. Yes, I'll be obedient. Yes, I'll follow the call. Yes, I'll step up in the face of the enemy. Yes, I'll tell that giant he ain't got anything going on today. He's going to be fed to the birds. Yes, I will stand in the face of persecution. Yes, I don't care what the world says. It's going God's way, and I'm going to step into that place. Yes, I will walk as the anointed one you've called me to walk in. Yes, I'll walk in the flow of the Spirit. I don't care if everyone else is trying to lead the direction backwards. I'm going with the current and the flow of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Stop allowing what the world is saying is right to dictate your mind. Step into the fullness of what God's called you to do. A picture, a plan, a season for you right now to step into that fullness. Amen. The price Jesus paid was that you would walk in the fullness of the anointing he's placed on your life. Paul prays that you would walk worthy of your call. That we would walk worthy of that. So jump in the river of his anointing. Amen. He is the only source to flow in that river. Listen to his flow, move with his current. Attach yourself to him. Grow and mature in what he's called you to do. Be the church and walk in the victory he has by flowing in him and his anointing. Amen. Your victory is found in the anointed one and his anointing. And is him is where every promise will be answered. And in him is where you'll find your true identity. And you can fully live a fulfilled life in him. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for your anointing. We thank you, Lord, that you are calling people up, calling people in to the destiny that you've prepared for them before the foundation of the world. We thank you, Lord, they're stepping into new levels. They don't get stagnant and staying where they're at, but they move outside of stagnant waters into the free-flowing river. They don't allow the determination of the enemy of throwing junk in their path to stop them from moving to the flow of the Spirit, the flow of the current. Father, they put on the refined glasses to move and operate in the things, the power, the destiny that you've called them to, Father. We thank you, Lord, that your glorious anointing is moving and working in each one of your individuals today. And Father, we thank you that it moves and operates here in the house of victory corporately. That we all make the decision to step up further into the things you've called us to. And we thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. God loves you. We love you. Stay in victory. Bye. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Stepping up into the things God's called us to do. Amen. Stepping further, stepping deeper. A daily increase in your life. I just want to put a challenge to you today that you expect daily increase in your life, daily change, a daily development, a daily growth, a daily pursuing that it gets better. Don't expect decrease. Don't expect destruction. Don't expect that it's just another day that's going to stay the same, because if you're not moving forward, the truth is you're moving backwards. And so expect increase. And expect for you to move into the fullness. Look for the things God's called you into. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand. Father, we thank you that we are the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. Blessing is overtaking us today. We're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the